Over the course of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, the role of the Navy SEALs has bloomed into American consciousness. The once secret special operations units are now celebrated as this country's ultimate weapon and an exemplary demonstration of valor. Last night, the president mentioned the SEALs' most famous operation, getting Osama bin Laden.
Our law enforcement agencies are more effective and vigilant than ever. We have taken out tens of thousands of terrorists, including bin Laden.
The mythology of the SEALs has been celebrated in Hollywood movies where they are portrayed as the bravest, the toughest. But for all the honor and valor of the SEAL reputation, the reality of the SEAL team actions may be something less than heroic. A 2.5-year investigation by Matthew Cole of The Intercept tells a very different story. The 5-part article out this week shows how instead of precision kills, there are often unnecessary casualties and brutal mutilations and a violence tolerated seemingly without accountability. Matthew Cole is an investigative journalist for The Intercept.
There are always rules, laws, and rules of engagement in any battle zone. By and large, the SEALs generally abide by them overall. The real issue is that when you get into special operations, you get into sort of the elite cadre, you start to get into really gray areas. So the SEALs or SEAL Team 6 have a thing, you know, unjustified shootings, which is someone ends up dead who wasn't armed. And they have to justify it. But it's precisely because they're so good that where there were initially aberrations and became something like a persistent virus, as a few former SEAL Team 6 leaders referred or compared it to with me, they were clear violations of rules of engagement, of ethics, battlefield ethics, of morality. It is highly unlikely for a member of SEAL Team 6 to ever be prosecuted for mutilating a dead body. And that still doesn't make it okay. Moreover, one of the saddest things that I found during this investigation was that I had, and frankly the motivation for people who were willing to talk, was they felt that they, the command, and they included themselves, had betrayed the younger SEALs by not giving them a bright red line that they weren't supposed to cross. And we are starting to see, and I mentioned at least one example in my story of someone who is really suffering because of several, at least one, but several incidents that he was a part of in Afghanistan.
Let's listen to the account of Britt Slavinsky, who's a member of SEAL Team 6, who's won the Navy Cross, but he speaks in a tone that I think suggests some of the things that you've uncovered in your investigation. Listen.
My God, just a phenomenal, phenomenal day.
Just a good trap.
It was, and we just slaughtered those dudes. You know, I mean, talk about funny stuff that we did. After I shot this dude in the head, there was a guy that had his feet, just his feet sticking out of some little rut or something over here. I mean, he was dead, but I mean, you know, people got nerves. I shot him about 20 times in the legs, and every time you kick him, or shoot him, he would kip up. You could see his body twitch and all that. It was like a game. Like, hey, look at this dude. And the guy was just, you know,
twitched again.
It was good therapy.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It was really good therapy for everybody that was there.
Who is Britt Slavinsky?
Britt Slavinsky is a legendary member of SEAL Team 6 who was the team leader during the Operation Anaconda mission in 2002, March 2002, where the first member of SEAL Team 6 died. Neil Roberts fell out of the back of a helicopter during an attempt to land on a 10,000-foot mountaintop to establish an observation post. And he led the sniper team to try to recover Roberts, which ultimately failed. And he won a Navy Cross for his heroism and his valor that day. But for him and for others at SEAL Team 6, and especially for their subunit, which was Red Team, they were really, really shaken up by the death of Roberts. Neil Roberts fell out of a helicopter at about 10 feet, was killed fairly quickly after that by Al-Qaeda fighters, was shot in the head. But when the SEALs found his body, when they recovered his body, they found that the Al-Qaeda fighters had tried to cut his head off. And it really, really shook up SEALs.
And so that's what Slabinski is referring to when he says it was really good therapy to do this mutilation.
Yes, this the operation that he's referring to in on the tape happens about a week later. They found that the men who – the Al-Qaeda fighters that they killed, there were about 20 that day, had been up on the mountaintop or had come up on the mountaintop later because they had gear, American gear that had been left behind. He refers to it as, you know, the thing that I found most interesting, and it was not just the tone of his voice, but the way he describes it as therapy. It was therapeutic. When I unearthed this audio, I gave the transcript to two former superiors of Britt Slabinski and said, this is what I found, this is what he said. And they both were horrified. And one of them said, one said they would have fired him instantly if they had known he had said it. But the other one said something, and again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Because he became such a senior figure at the command and was so influential, that undoubtedly there were young SEALs who were influenced by that bravado.
And could see he was untouchable.
And could see that he was untouchable. And so 5 years later, Slabinski is involved in a very senior position in Afghanistan in 2007, making a remark to his men that he wanted a head on a platter. And one of his operators, one of his SEAL operators, interpreted that as a order. And so on an operation after they had killed some Taliban fighters, he attempted to cut the head off of a one of the fighters and had gotten pretty far before he was stopped. And that's one of the stories in the piece that we published. But what it gets at is it wasn't just the command culture and climate that had allowed for Slabinski to become so influential. But none of the officers who have the commission by law for law and order, for good order and discipline, none of the officers at SEAL Team 6 who were a part of the cover-up or who were aware of what had really gone on in Afghanistan and Iraq, none of them were ever reprimanded. There was no accountability. And to this day, they are now, you know, high risers inside the special operations community. One is the top SEAL in America, runs all SEALs. To be honest with you, that's what the story is really about. It's the total failure of leadership at SEAL Team 6. And it's been a problem for a long time. And they have refused to address it.
An ugly, dark side to the legendary SEAL Team 6 and special operations in the U.S. military. Matthew Cole is an investigative journalist for The Intercept. Great work, Matthew. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.